getting out and about this winter. Millions of people travel to Maine during the summer months. Of course, August is considered high season for tourism here, time for beachcombing, sailing, and swimming. But there are also lots of people who can't wait for winter. People who watch the ice until it's ready for the ice fishing shack, who help groom trails for their snowmobiling club, who sharpen up their blades for pond hockey, or help plan festivals and other events. Are you one of these people, a winter enthusiast? I'm Jennifer Rooks. Tourism promoters in Maine have been trying to get the word out. It is a great time to visit Maine. It's also a great time for those of us who get to live here to try something new. Share your ideas. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. As Mainers know, the best way to get through the winter is to embrace it. After all, there is no shortage of things to see and do throughout the season. Our panel is here to talk about winter tourism and recreation in Maine. Joining me in the studio to share ideas, Jennifer Hazard, who is author of the Maine Playbook and the writer behind CutePotato.com, an award-winning blog that highlights the best of Maine for families. Brian Kevin is editor-in-chief of Down East Magazine, and Steve Lyons is the director of the Maine Office of Tourism. As always, we want to hear from you. Are you looking for new ideas for places to go or things to do this winter? Or do you have suggestions for the rest of us? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. We'll start with you, Steve, for a big picture. How much is winter a part of the tourism year for Maine? What percentage of the tourists come or the money that's spent?
Well, winter is a very important part of the year for the state. We get about 6.5 million visitors in the wintertime. That makes about 15% of our overall visitation. So it continues to grow. We've been running advertising campaigns to increase business during the shoulder seasons, and we've seen some market improvements in the number of people that are coming.
Tell me about the marketing campaign that's underway right now.
Well, we're spending about $500,000 on a winter marketing campaign. It focuses primarily on outdoor activities, but there's also a component in there that includes, you know, those just quiet, relaxing weekends on the coast or something like that as well. It runs primarily in the Boston New market, but we do go down to the Mid-Atlantic market as well. Our advertising campaign runs probably from New England, probably down as far as Washington, D.C., so we're promoting Maine.
And is this TV advertisements? Are there banners on the sides of buses? How are we promoting Maine?
Well, it's not television at this time of the year. What we focus on primarily is online or digital advertising. We also have out-of-home advertising, so you will have advertisements in train stations and, you know, on commuter rails, that kind of thing. We have print in there as well. So it's kind of a varied campaign, a lot of different components.
Okay, Brian, I know that your February issue is out now, but the January issue of Down East Magazine focused on winter getaways. How did you approach thinking about where people might like to go in the winter?
Yeah, I mean, like anytime we set out to do a piece like that, we try to get a pretty wide spread of geographical coverage just to be sort of equitable across the state. But yeah, it's funny because you start to think about different activities and then different regions lend themselves to different activities. So you're sort of an outdoorsy, you know, kind of person. Well, you maybe head up to the ski trails they're grooming at the National Monument now and name check a cool lodge to stay in up there. We wrote a little bit about the fantastic sort of hut-to-hut or lodge-to-lodge, really, skiing system that the Appalachian Mountain Club runs. Maine Huts and Trails run something really similar, and I'm sure we're going to have callers today that brings up stuff like that. Or maybe you want to shop, and you want to eat, and you want to drink, and then it's like, well, you can't go wrong with Kittery. And so it's just the fun process of matching, you know, the activity to the region.
And it's a lot easier to get into a lot of Maine's sort of more famous restaurants this time of year.
That is a selling point of the winter for for sure. Yeah, you're not waiting in lines. And what we discovered, you know, as we were, I mean, we were moved to get on this by looking at some of these tourism numbers that show these dramatic increases in winter visitation in the last couple of years, is that there are, you know, a handful of four-season lodges and inns and things around the state, more than a handful, really, that either weren't around a couple few years ago or, you know, they're under new ownership. And you see people who are coming into the hospitality sphere that seem to have a renewed emphasis on trying to be four-season, you know, destinations, four-season availability.
And are the prices better? I mean, if you're, you know, if you want to head somewhere that's kind of out, maybe out of your range in the summertime, is there a chance you might be able to stay there in the winter?
I think these guys can probably speak to that as well. But that's anecdotally, that does seem to be the case. Yeah.
All right. Well, Jen, I want to turn to you. I know that on your blog, each winter, you try to sort of set out some goals for your family, what you want to do
right
during the winter you haven't done before. What are your goals this year? And what have you done already?
Well, yeah. So in the past, it's ranged. One of the things that was on top of our list a couple of years ago was to go dog sledding. And you talk about pricing of things. And I think that was one of the things we're looking at. It's like, we want to do this, but you know, this is what we can afford, and we have small children, too. So we found this great place in Augusta called the Haywood Kennels and went out probably for about an hour. We had to split up into teams of two, and while my husband and daughter went on a ride, my son and I hung out with the dogs, and it was an amazing experience and, you know, not that far afield from us, and I think that's what I love about making these winter lists. This year, my personal goal and my kids too is we are Nordic skiers, but we are not a family of downhill skiers. I probably haven't downhill skied, yeah, since I was 17 years old. So I decided, you know what, I live here and I got to go for it. I got to take some lessons. And so a friend mentioned a really great package at Mount Abram, and I think that's what we're going to try. My daughter wants to try snowboarding, and my son's going to try downhill skiing with me. So we'll see how we do. Hopefully I won't crash and burn.
You said they're little. How little?
Well, not too little. My daughter's 12, and my son's 11.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be passing you, you know,
yeah.
One or two runs.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to be cramping their style for sure.
Yeah, that's definitely what goes usually. I have to admit, I've worked in two ski areas in my life and my career, and so snowboarding is always something that I found fascinating and enjoy doing myself, and downhill skiing is great. So I think you'll have a great time.
That describes my family perfectly, actually. The passionate Nordic skiers who are trying to – I wanted to get my 5-year-old, if not my 2-year-old, maybe, in some lessons this year. I was going to ask listeners to give me suggestions as to where I can take these guys for lessons.
You know, Steve, I want to ask you about this winter, in this strange winter. I found an article from one of the Aroostook County papers that was from the beginning of month, which I thought was kind of funny. It was a slow start to the season. Well, since then, they have set a record for snow. Van Buren, 52 inches. Caribou, 47 inches. Are we seeing, are there people sort of that are in the know, that are buzzing? Are there folks in Massachusetts and New York that are saying, oh my gosh, have you heard about Aroostook County? We've got to get up there to snowmobile.
Well, I mean, I think that's part of our job. I think having worked in a couple of ski areas in my life, we always had this sort of saying that an inch in the city is worth a foot in the mountains, you know. So, you know, if you get an inch of snow in the city, people see white and they say, wow, geez, it must be a ton of snow up in the mountains. So let's go try to give that a shot. The season started off, we had a good snowstorm at the beginning back in November, and we were looking to be a real positive season. And then things kind of slacked off a little bit, and it hasn't been bad, but we haven't gotten as much snowfall until over the weekend. And now you're talking, I was talking to one of my coworkers who lives up in Greenville, and she said, well, we have like three feet of snow on the ground now up here, and it's just difficult to get out of your driveway and into, you know, onto the road. So I think, you know, the conditions are improving, have improved significantly, and we're going to be seeing some pretty pretty good season, I think.
All right. Well, this is a big weekend. We have events and festivals. We're sort of right in the middle of winter events and festivals. But I noticed that this weekend, it's the Rangeley Fat Bike Loppet. So an event going on. I know South Portland has its winter fest this season in February. I want to ask you, Brian, Down East is And Midcoast, Maine, are you going to be doing the Toboggan Festivals? Are you going to enter
race? I'm 90% sure it's too late at this point to sign up. And I didn't do it this year out of pure dumb inertia.
But you've really done it other years?
I've done it in the past. And it's
and
a
you've
ton
survived
of fun.
To talk
so
about
that's,
it?
We've got to be coming up pretty close to that, huh?
It's
usually early February. Yeah, I've survived to talk about it. And it's a great time. I mean, I would recommend anybody go only to be a spectator. If you can participate, fantastic. If you just want to take advantage of the camaraderie and the campfires and the I think there's a little beer festival and a wine tasting and just some of the overall frivolity that surrounds that weekend, that's a really, really good time.
So I'm going to read some of the events happening in February. And this is from a really fun blog, the Maine Winter Events from untamedmainer.com. I linked this on our Facebook page. February 1st through 13th Annual New England Pond Hockey Festival in Rangeley, Camden Winterfest, the first week and a half of February, Biddeford Winterfest, the first weekend, as we mentioned, the Toboggan Championships, Acadia Winter Festival, Bald Mountain Camp's annual fly-in, Carabasset has a fat tire race, Maine Lakes Winter Carnival. This is just the first 2 weeks of February. Jen, does your family do festivals?
We do. Festivals were a large part of the book. I think what we always loved about them is so many of them are free and offer so many great things to do throughout the festival. And I was checking today, the state of Maine actually runs in the parks a Maine family festival at different parks at different times. So it's definitely worth getting online and checking. I saw that Bradbury Mountain is coming up soon, and I think El Obina is going to be there with some snowshoe demos and some ski demos, and they have all kinds of things going on. And we kind of live for that stuff. It's great things to look forward to. And I know locally, we have a local farm, Skyline Farm in North Yarmouth, and they're having a sleigh day soon. Again, it's a great way to kind of get out a little bit and explore by horse and sled ride. So, yeah, all of those things we're always keeping an eye out for. Yeah,
so, Jen, you mentioned dog sledding, and I wanted to toss it to the guys in this room. What is sort of something surprising that you've tried that you'd like to pass on to our listeners?
Surprising? I guess maybe I'm not that interesting, but, you know, so I haven't done a lot of surprising things. I mean, certainly I love the snowshoe and cross-country ski and downhill ski and snowboard. So I am a winter person, you know, a winter sports person. But I can't say I've done anything that's so unusual that would, you know, surprise anybody. I will say that just to extend on Jennifer's point here, the state parks do have significant number of events. And she mentioned Bradbury Mountain. I happened to write the date down on that one. It was 23rd of February. But there's also Mount Blue State Park. They do a similar project where they have sleigh rides and snowshoeing, ice skating, nature walks. They're doing a winter camping demo, those kinds of things. That's coming right up on February 2nd. You've got Aroostook County State Park, Cobbs Cook Bay State Park. All of those are doing similar activities to what Jen was describing. And so there are a lot of opportunity in the parks. If you just go to Parks and Lands and search for events, there's a lot of great opportunities out there.
You mentioned winter camping. I want to do a shout out to my friend Roger Griswold, the meteorologist. He always espouses the joy of winter camping. He talks about it's great. You don't have to deal with crowds. And we'd always have a discussion. Well, there's a reason for that. But folks who like to winter camp love to winter camp. Have you tried with your kids?
We did not. I wouldn't call it glamping. I wouldn't call it straight up camping. But we went one weekend to Maine Forest Yurts in Durham. And spent a night there, and it was great. They had a sled.
Yurt. You said Maine Forest yurts.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so we stayed in the yurt, and so we had to bring in our gear, but they had a big sled to bring it in. It wasn't a very long walk, maybe less than a mile to get to the yurt, and we just brought great stuff for dinner and games and fired up the wood stove. There's a pond right there, a runaround pond you can skate on. You can bring your snowshoes, so that was one that we really enjoyed. And it had the feeling of camping, but at least you were in, you know, you weren't in a tent necessarily. We were in the yurt. And I think Hidden Valley Nature Center, too, in Jefferson,
nice place, yeah.
Also has the ability to stay in cabins and yurts in the winter months.
Did you have to bring your own skates, or do they have skates there for you?
Everything is BYO.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And what about you, Brian? What's the most other than toboggan racing? What have you tried?
Toboggan racing is a lot of fun. I don't know how adventurous I've been either. I know this winter is going to be a winter to get back in touch with my Wisconsin roots where I grew up. And my pal is taking me ice fishing, going smelt fishing for the first time sometime in the coming months. So that's my big forthcoming winter adventure.
I did think of one other thing, though.
Yeah.
Now that you mentioned that, and after hearing Jen talk about the yurts, my family went up to Hudson Trails a couple winters ago. We snowshoed into Flagstaff Hut and stayed overnight. We had packs on our back and we snowshoed in. And that was a really great experience. I mean, Brian had mentioned the huts earlier, and it's just a great opportunity to get out there. You can cross-country ski in. You can snowshoe in. And they even allow fat tire biking into the park on those days when the snow might be a little harder than you'd normally like.
Well, and isn't this a big trend in tourism? You mentioned yurts, Jen. You mentioned both Maine Hudson Trails and the AMC cabins. To have this sort of outdoors experience that isn't quite as rough as roughing it. You don't have to own a tent. You don't have to know how to build a campfire to enjoy, to really get truly into the outdoors, but then have sort of a bed to sleep in at night.
It is kind of a trend in the industry just in general, not just in the winter months, but even in the summer months, where people want to go out and have a real exert themselves throughout the day and then come back to a nice soft bed and a nice meal and a nice, craft brew at the end of the day. And so that's fairly common way that people travel nowadays.
And of course, Maine's sporting camp tradition has kind of put us in front of that trend by, a few decades. I mentioned skiing up in the Monument, which is where we went as a family to ski last year. And we stayed at this Mount Chase Lodge, which is one of the places that gets name checked in this January package we're talking about, where you can get a fairly rustic cabin, but comfortable and a great meal. And, you're paying $100 a night for the four of you. I mean, that's something we've been doing here for generations. And maybe now everybody else is circling around to catch up.
Jen, you mentioned Midcoast Conservancy, and David on Facebook wanted to give it a shout out as well. He says, Midcoast Conservancy Hidden Valley Nature Center in Jefferson, Maine is an awesome winter wonderland. Over 30 miles of gray trails with 15 miles groomed and 6 overnight cabins for winter campers, all with wood stoves. Some people come to Hidden Valley Nature Center for the ice fishing. They rent the pond cabin and make a weekend of it. Oh, and did I mention that biking and our winter biathlon are coming up in March? Mm. So be like David. Share your secrets either on Facebook or by email or give us a call. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mainepublic.org, tweet @MaineCalling, or post to our Facebook page. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as does the Maine Health Cancer Care Network. World-class cancer care right here in the place that gives strength, home.
Tax season starts next week, and this year, IRS employees are juggling major new policy changes. Plus, they're working without pay.
I mean, how are they going to handle commuting costs, childcare costs? I mean, even when you think about, so how are they going to afford lunch?
I'm Audie Cornish, the shutdown and the IRS, this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
You can listen to All Things Considered today at 4 here on Maine Public Radio. Did you know if you do not have cable, it's still possible to see Maine Public Television, all 4 channels, The World, Cree, and Kids as well. In many areas of Maine, you can watch all 4 of our television signals with an HD TV antenna. Will that work in your neighborhood? We have created a resource to help you answer that question. Go to mainepublic.org for more information, click on Television and Guide for watching over the air, or give us a call at 1-800-884-1717, and we'll send you the information right away. With or without cable, Maine Public Television brings you 4 channels of the highest quality programming, an educational resource not to be missed.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, things to do this winter. Joining me in the studio, Brian Kevin, editor-in-chief of Down East Magazine. Steve Lyons is director of the Maine Office of Tourism. And Jennifer Hazard, the author of Maine Playbook. And she writes for the blog CutePotato.com. We invite you to join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet @MaineCalling, or post to our Facebook page. Jen, what's your advice about getting kids out of the house into the cold in the winter? Yeah. I know that inertia is a very strong force, especially for middle school age kids.
Right. I think it goes back to really that trying new things and making a list. I try to tempt my kids with all kinds of things. There's a farm near us in Gray called Ten Apple Farm that does winter goat hikes. And my kids love animals, so I knew I could get them. And I think there was like a chocolate chip cookie at the end. Sometimes that's all it takes.
That helps for me.
So yeah, it helps for me too. You know, so that was one of the things. It was unique and unusual enough, and they know me as a parent enough that I am always trying to find these little places that we haven't gone or seen before, and sometimes. Sometimes now we traveled so much for the book that I, you know, now it's kind of places within my own town. So we've been kind of seeking out different nature preserves in the town and snowshoeing there. And, you know, last year I think we picked them both up, some snowshoes here in Portland. And they took to it and they really enjoyed it. You know, it's definitely a struggle, YouTube or outside, but I always try to make sure they get outside a little bit.
Why yeah. pick? I sometimes, yeah. this is a little harder in the winter because little frozen fingers. I have been known to bribe my older toddler, five. You're not a toddler anymore when you're five. My older kid, if he's willing to sink in some time in the chariot, the little device that you pull behind you, either on the bike or on skis or push while you're running, then he can do like a little tablet time, which is normally pretty strictly regulated.
So. Yeah. Yeah, so there's
carrot,
a balance.
Carrot and stick, mostly carrot, I guess.
We'll go to Jen, who's calling from Denmark. Hi, Jen, go ahead.
Hi, I'm calling from Nurture Through Nature Retreat Center. And in fact, Denise Magazine recognized our sauna.
Yeah, in fact, Jen here wrote it.
That's right. And I've been thinking about it ever since.
So I'm going to repeat that. Nurture Through Nature, and it's in Denmark?
It's in Denmark, yep. We're a destination retreat year-round, and we just got featured in Yankee Magazine as the best winter wellness getaway in New England, top five. So we have cabins, we have yurts, we have a sauna, hiking and snowshoe trails. And we're right on Pleasant Mountain in Denmark. So we offer yoga retreats and meditation retreats as well, and people can come create their own retreat. And they love that sauna, especially this time of year.
I was going to say, that sounds really nice. Thanks so much for calling in, Jen.
So, you know, we actually, our March issue, which we just sent to the printer, won't be landing for another month, but we devoted a big feature to sort of a roundup of different wellness pursuits, in part because, especially in the late winter, it suddenly kind of seems like a moment for self-care, you know? It's a good opportunity to maybe go inside, do a little of the meditation, do a little of the soaking or whatever. It's not always so lovely outside by the time March rolls around. And I love to hear suggestions of good places to soak. I'm a Western transplant, and what I miss more than anything are hot springs. Of course, we don't have them here. And so when I can find a place that has a really cool hot tub, it's worth splurging for a weekend at the Cliff House or something in Old Orchard Beach, or excuse me, Ogunquit, where you can sit outside in hot water and look at the ocean. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm always up for tips of those sorts of places.
Jen, thanks for your call. Noah on Facebook says, come try ice climbing in Camden, Maine.
Oh, yeah.
With Equinox Guiding Service, we offer full day trips based in Camden. It is a fun way to get out and move around. So there we go. Equinox Guiding Service and ice climbing. Anyone tried that?
No, I haven't tried that. Now I want to. Writing it down
on your list there.
Interesting, though, following up on what Brian had said, it was interesting. You're talking about water activities and sitting in a pool. I just read something about Sunday River, how they have like a swim in theater now is what they said at one of their lodges where you can go in for the day with your kids, and it's an outdoor heated pool, and they do a movie, and you can see in the pool while you're watching this movie. And I thought that was kind of interesting. I think that's at the Grand Summit Hotel, I believe, in Sunday River.
My kids would love that. David on Facebook says, Mountain hiking with modern snowshoes is often easier in winter. No roots and rocks to stumble over, and the views are fantastic. Steve, you said you're a snowshoer.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, I have some great snowshoes that I've used for years, and they do. I mean, the new technology on those things, of course, I say I've had it for years, but, you know, these were the higher-tech aluminum snowshoes, and with the grippers and that kind of thing, he's right. I mean, you go out and you can get up, you can walk up some pretty steep inclines because the grippers will actually give you the traction you need to get up some of those deeper inclines. And then, and as you pointed out earlier, when you're out there in the winter on top of a mountain, a lot of times you're up there by yourself. So, you know, it's a really great experience.
A decent pair of crampons seems to me like something every Mainer should have in the back of the car. Like, you don't need to be a hardcore mountaineer for that to prove a useful winter tool around here.
I use them on my driveway when
that's
I have ice.
Yeah,
so
was my husband. I was
just to get the mail, right? Emily on Facebook, looking for a cross-country ski cabin, ski in, ski out, allows dogs. Ideas?
Mm-hmm.
Hidden Valley allows dogs.
Hidden Valley in Jefferson?
Yeah. I'm not sure about Maine Hudson Trails, though.
I'm not sure Hudson Trails allows pets, and I'm not sure about AMC. I mean, you might have to go to a private camp like, you know, something like New England Outdoor Center or something. They might have that opportunity. I don't know for sure.
Yeah, I don't remember the details about AMC. It's worth giving those guys a call. You know, of course, like, there are certain cross-country skiing purists that don't always take super kindly to doggy prints running around on the groomed trails, so that can sometimes be a little bit tough. I bet there's callers and Facebook folks who can come up with suggestions.
Sure. If you have an idea or you want to mention something else, our phone number 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mainepublic.org. You can tweet at Maine Calling or post to our Facebook page. And speaking of Facebook, Kate says, come to Bodenham for the annual Ice and Smelt Festival on February 2nd, sponsored by the Mary Meeting Arts Center. So there you go, Brian. You can go to Bodenham for the Ice and Smelt Festival.
That sounds like a blast.
Okay. And then we've got Susanna on Facebook saying the 12th annual Moosehead Lake Togue Derby in Greenville, Maine is this Friday through Sunday. It's run by the nonprofit NREC at NRECM Moosehead, Natural Resource Education Center. Fun for the whole family.
Sure. Right. Fishing. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, fishing is huge. I mean, fishing derbies in Maine are huge, and the Bureau of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife has a full list of fishing derbies that are taking place in January, February, and March. And so if you just go to IFNW's website on maine.gov, they'll give you a whole list and tells you where they're happening around the state. They're everywhere. I mean, you know, you find them all over the place.
We've got a photographer heading up to Long Lake this weekend, way up north for the big one up there. It's quite a scene.
Yeah. I mean, I was looking at the list the other day, and it's very lengthy, all these little towns and communities that have these.
All right. Martin on Facebook says, I highly recommend Mount Blue State Park in Weld for cross-country skiing and ice skating. The staff, consisting largely of one extremely dedicated ranger, Bruce, who seems to work 24/7, always has the ice ready, even at night. So a great shout out for Bruce at Mount Blue State Park.
Yeah, it's a great location. I mean, the look just up there, the scenery alone from up Mount Blue is worth the visit. I mean, just to go up there for that. But then they're doing all these things with ice fishing ice skating and skiing. It's just a phenomenal place.
Thanks, Martin, for your recommendation. We're going to go to Taylor, who's calling from Greenville. Hi, Taylor. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I heard some discussion about where to bring your dogs to go skiing, and I work for the AMC at Little Leopard Lodge, and we allow dogs.
There you go.
Great.
All right. We were trying to debate whether that was the case. We couldn't remember.
Well, Taylor, since you called in, and that's great information, tell us what it's like up there right now.
We just got hit by a massive storm. I'm working on the trails, trying to get them cleaned back up, but we're making good progress and need to have some people come out and get on the trails.
Okay.
Hey, Taylor, are they allowed at Metawisla and the other lodges too, or Little Lyford in particular?
At Gorman Chairback, they allow dogs in the winter. I don't believe that they allow dogs at Metawisla.
Okay.
Well, thanks for calling in. Great resource there, and have fun out on the trails today. We're going to go to Margaret, who's calling from Auburn. Hi, Margaret. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to mention a place in Auburn that is owned by the city. It's a park, and it has wonderful sledding, and they also provide parking for the people to go to. And it just offers great opportunity for city kids that can't get out or might not have the money to do a lot of the adventures.
Margaret, I'm so glad you called. How do you get to this park? Does it have a name?
I'm not sure. It's by the schools. I don't know the name of the school, but it's just right in the middle of the city, and that the city takes care of it and provides this area, I think, is the most wonderful thing. And then on West Auburn Road, there's a cross-country area, which also is a biking area, and the Boy Scouts take care of it and groom it. So there are free places out there, and I don't know if other cities offer areas for kids to go sledding.
Well, Margaret, I really appreciate you calling in. That's great information. Steve, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say there are a lot of places where you can go at no cost, and I think one good resource is the land trusts. Maine has so many land trusts around the state, and all you have to do is Google land trusts in Maine, and you'll get to an unlimited list of places where you can go snowshoe and cross-country ski, and they don't cost anything. I mean, these land trusts, another great resource is MaineTrailFinder.com, which is a website that has trails throughout the entire state. And it's a great opportunity to get out there, and just if you don't have the funds to go out and spend, you know, buy a ski lift ticket or something like that, these land trusts do offer a lot of opportunity.
Right. I also should say there's a nonprofit organization called Winter Kids that also, they do amazing work all winter long, just offering tons of events throughout the state that are also low cost and free. This past weekend, I just volunteered at Payson Park. They had a huge event there, and there were hundreds of families sledding.
Payson Park in Portland.
Yes, yeah. Hundreds and hundreds of families sledding and just having a great time. And I think, you know, it really does help to talk to other parents, people that you know, talk to people in other towns and find out those great free sledding spots, because there are certainly, we're blessed to have a lot of them around.
Well, we got a call from Midcoast Conservancy's Hidden Nature Center and says, yes, we allow dogs. So there, now we have two recommendations. Brian, pitch in.
I was just going to mention talking to the folks at your local gear shop. I mean, I've lived in Greater Camden for a couple of years now and worked up there for 5 or 6, and I still learn about places to take my kids, places to ski, places to sled, just by chatting up the folks at Maine Sport. If you've got some place in town that is renting your skis and your fat bike, ask those folks, and they're going to have the inside track.
All right, we'll go to Amy calling from Farmington. Hi, Amy. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to comment about the cross-country skiing and the dogs. In the Farmington area, there's a rail trail that you can ski. It's a shared trail, so you ski, run, snowshoe, and snowmobile. And then in Carabasset Valley, there's the narrow gauge trail that runs around along Route 27, which is dog-friendly. The main huts, no dogs in the winter. However, the outdoor center at Sugarloaf has one dog trail, which is a great trail. So there are a few dog spots, but most like organized cross country skiing is not dog friendly.
And Amy, let me guess, you have a dog and you're a cross country skier because you seem very knowledgeable.
yes, I walk dogs for a living, and then I also have a big cross country skier. And the main hut trails are awesome for people in the winter because they're totally free. I mean, you have to pay if you sleep overnight and buy food, but the trails themselves are 100% free.
All right. Thanks, Amy. And I want to ask you, one of your blogs, Jen, was about horseback riding. And our own Robin Rylette is a big fan of the Icelandic horses. You can ride Icelandic horses here in Maine, can't you?
Yes, yes. So I just learned last year that there's a farm in Thomaston. And I'm sorry that the name is escaping me at the moment, but there's a farm in Thomaston that offers these Icelandic horse rides. And so I don't know how soon I'll be getting to Iceland, so I'm feeling like that might be something that I'd like to do. And if you start looking around, there are definitely farms that offer horseback riding through the winter.
And that is on your blog.
Yes.
So we can find it there at cutepotato.com.
That's right.
We'll go to Alex in Freeport. Hi, Alex. Go ahead. Hello, Alex. Go ahead. Are you there? Shoot. Well, we'll go to a quick break, and maybe Alex will be there when we get back. First, a word about tomorrow's program. Join Erwin Gratz for a conversation about Maine's potential as a spaceport. If you'd like to email your comments or questions ahead of time, go ahead and do so. If you'd like to join today's conversation, our phone number is 1-800-399-3566. This is Maine Calling.
You make Maine Calling possible, as does Evergreen Home Performance, offering energy-efficient windows and insulation to help homeowners achieve year-round comfort. More at evergreenyourhome.com.
While Erlon Woods was a San Quentin inmate, he told his stories and the stories of fellow inmates on the podcast Ear Hustle. On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Woods, who is now free after serving 21 years in prison. His sentence was commuted by Governor Jerry Brown nearly 2 months ago. We'll also hear from his Ear Hustle co-host and co-producer, Nigel Poor, who is not an inmate. Join us.
Fresh Air is this evening at 7 here on Maine Public Radio. And coming up today at 2, World Affairs. Daniel Ziblatt, professor at Harvard University and co-author of How Democracies Die, discusses the future of liberal democracies.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling today on the program Winter Recreation in Maine. Joining us today, Steve Lyons with the Maine Office of Tourism, Jen Hazard, the author of the Maine Playbook and the blog cutepotato.com, and Brian Kevin, editor of Down East Magazine. Join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566. We'll go to Andrew. He's with the Friends of Katahdin Woods and Waters. Hi, Andrew. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good.
Excellent. Well, I first I wanted to say thanks to Brian for mentioning the excellent cross-country ski opportunities that exist in our new national monument, Katahdin Woods and Waters, 16 miles of groomed ski trails. But I also wanted to mention a number of other recreation opportunities this winter that exist in the monument and the surrounding communities, whether that's snowshoeing or snowmobiling or some exceptional night sky viewing in some of the least light polluted places in the region. This winter, Friends of Katahdin Woods and Waters is actually sponsoring a week of free ski rentals for anyone that wants to visit the monument. We'll provide the boots, the skis, and the poles. That's March 16th through the 22nd. And just wanted to mention this new resource that exists for Mainers and people in general.
Thanks, Andrew. Sounds fun.
I'm a member of the Friends group. I didn't know about the free ski rental a weekend. That's pretty cool. I might have to bring some newbies up for that.
Yeah, I think, in that area, he's talking about Katahdin Woods and Waters, and I thought he was going to go into, he said, some of the other opportunities in the area. I think if you go to Millinocket has great municipal trails up there. They have, again, they're free, but, they're trails that are groomed by the Northern Timber Cruisers Ski and Snowmobile Club. And it's an area where you can get some really great views of Katahdin and some wilderness trails, and they're groomed after they have high snowfall amounts. So I presume they've been groomed recently and probably in great shape.
The Timber Cruisers trails are among my favorite places to ski in Maine, and I will add then you can also get like a lovely pancake and egg breakfast in the clubhouse when it's all over, which is pretty cool.
Andrew, and I'm glad. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say there. That's the other thing about when you're going out in the wintertime, because you always want to do something, and once you've had the activity, now you want to go and rest and relax someplace. I was thinking of Pineland Farms, for example, where they've got that great bakery and deli cafe that you can go into afterwards, or their fine raised products right there. Those are great.
I was at Pineland yesterday, and it was a ton of fun. And you can ski the Bait Hole Trails, which are a little bit south of Millinocket now, and then just continue right on down the road. I did this in December. It's the only reason I think of it, to the new Bissell Brothers Tap Room in Milo. It's just a pretty convenient afternoon of skiing and drinking.
That is convenient.
Into that.
Andrew, thanks so much. I like the order, skiing, then drinking.
You can mix it up.
Thanks for calling in. And we do have Alex back. Alex and Freeport, go ahead.
Hi, I wanted to introduce folks to the idea of this kind of ski that we call approach skis. They're sold
some at L.L. Bean and some elsewhere. I've been using them for years, and they're billed these days as a transitional mode of transportation between snowshoeing and Nordic skiing. They're really great because they're wide, they're short, they have built-in skins in the bottom, they have metal edges, and the basic model comes with a kind of binding that you can put any kind of boot in, and so they're really easy. It's a little sad that they're as expensive as they are, but they're a great way to switch it up, and I use them especially for bushwhacking, and they're best in fresh snow. I'm just on my way back from Pleasant Mountain, where I skinned up Pleasant Mountain and skied down through the woods.
Now, fun, Alex, you called them approach skis, as in APPROACH?
Yes, traditionally they were used often by mountaineers with their heavy pack on, ice climbing gear, and all that kind of stuff to get up along long slogs to their mountaineering locations, but they're especially the best known ones, and the best ones these days are a company called Altai, named after the Western Chinese mountains and people, who may be the oldest skiers in the world, perhaps predating the Norwegians.
Oh, that's terrific, Alex. Thanks for the tip. Another tip from a caller that the Icelandic horse farm that we were talking about is Pepper Farm in Thomaston.
Thank you.
We'll go to Heinz, who's calling from East Winthrop. Hi, Heinz. Go ahead. Go ahead, Heinz.
Okay, sorry. Yes, I'm a transplant from Austria. Been quite a while here in Maine, 35 years or so. And we have a game in Austria, which we play on the outdoors in the wintertime on ice. It's called ice dog shooting, literally translation. And we need ice dogs for that, and I imported 8 ice dogs here. And we played in the rain at a pond. People are quite excited about it. And I'm wondering whether anybody knows about the game. It's played in Canada as well, as I understand, and in the Alps. It played in Switzerland, Germany, Austria, and northern Italy. And I'd like to see whether there's an interest.
Well, Heinz, thanks. I think you're giving our journalists in the room some story ideas here. You said ice stocks, S-T-O-C-K-S?
Ice is I-C-E, and then stock is S-T-O-C-K, and shooting is just S-H-O-O-T-I-N-G. It's a literal translation, and I don't know how to call it differently. It's a cross between bocce ball and curling.
Well, it sounds like fun. If folks want to come join you, how do they do that? Do you have a web page or something like that?
No, I don't have a web page. I have a phone number. If anybody's interested, I can give you the phone number.
What is the German word we would search on the internet if we were looking for like a primer on how to play?
The German word Eisstockschießen it's called.
Well, Heinz, I invite you, if you use the computer, to go on to Maine Calling's Facebook page and post some more information. Maybe you'll get some people to come join you. And thanks so much for calling in from East Winthrop. We'll go to Barbara, who's calling from Wells. Hi, Barbara. Go ahead.
Hi. I volunteer over at the Wells Reserve at Lot Home in Wells, and they have a great hill for sledding. Up near, right outside of the visitor center. It's a great hill to go sledding in. And besides that, the trails are open, so snowshoeing, cross-country skiing, you know, is great over there also. It's right there in Wells, real close.
Well, thank you, Barbara. Thanks for your tip.
You're very welcome.
Sean on Facebook says the Camden Snow Bowl is happy to host the Seacoast Classic Combi race on Sunday, January 7th. And, Brian, registration for the 2019 U.S. National Toboggan Championships is now open.
It is open, yeah. We haven't missed it.
And you have to think of a clever name for your team.
Through 10th, 2019. So,
oh, that's great. Late. Honest to God, I thought of it just a little earlier this week and thought, you know, I'm sure I missed it already. I had the feeling I was supposed to register a lot earlier. It really is a lot of fun.
All right. We'll go to Casey, who's calling from Portland. Hi, Casey. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm calling from Ripple Effect, a youth outdoor education nonprofit in Portland, and we have a 2-day overnight winter trek on Saturday, March 2nd into Sunday, March 3rd, that's open to all high school students. And we will be meeting them in Portland and then taking them up in our bus up to the White Mountains for Saturday. They'll be learning how to snowshoe and use crampons and then spend the night in the White Mountains in our winter tents. And on Sunday, they'll be attempting to summit a White Mountain peak and then coming right back to Portland. And if we have more information on our website, RippleEffectMaine.org. But yeah, it's a really cool opportunity.
Well, Casey, thanks for the tip. And is this for any high school student who wants to take part?
Absolutely. We are located, like I said, in Portland, and we're basing it from, like, drop-off and pick-up will be in our Portland office on State Street, but it's open to any high school student, and we do have scholarships available, and more information about that is also located on our website.
Well, thanks so much for calling in, Casey. It sounds like a great weekend.
Absolutely.
We have an email from Linda. In Rangeley, we have a variety of winter activities that are free. Ice skating on Haley Pond is free, and there are over 150 skates available to borrow. There is curling on the pond Sundays at 1, pond hockey, lots of snowshoeing, and Winter Palooza, a day of fun activities for the family on Sunday, February 17th. Some competitions and lots of free activities for the family. Enter your dog in our dog keg pull. Go to Facebook, Rangeley Winter Palooza, for more information. And they spell Winter Palooza, Winter Palooza. Lots of spelling on Maine Calling today. And I want to invite anybody who's got a great activity and has not put it yet on the Maine Public Community Calendar to do so. That is available to everyone in the state, and thousands of people use that. So if you're not already using community calendar, please go ahead and do so. We're going to go to Beth, who's calling from Owl's Head.
Oh, hello. Hi. Perhaps this has been answered already because I've just been tuned in. I live in Owl's Head, and we get a lot of ice. I was out this morning cross-country skiing, and it was difficult because it's so icy. And I'm wondering, from Rockland, Owl's Head, where are the closest groomed trails?
Brian, do you know? You live near there.
They groom at Tanglewood, do they not? Up in Lincolnville. So that's just up the road a little ways from you. And it's not such a far stretch to Hidden Valley, which is this place that keeps coming up over and over again. Yeah. There are a lot of great places to ski in Greater Camden. I'm thinking of some of the properties of the Coastal Mountains Land Trust.
Yeah,
I mean, you can usually find, the Duck Track Preserve is pretty nicely tracked this time of year. Somebody's been out there, but nobody grooms, as far as I know.
Okay.
Am I right about Tanglewood? Do you know?
Yeah, I know Tanglewood. It's about a little bit over an hour from the peninsulas, but it's worth to get up there. Just
That's my first impulse.
All right.
Great
Thanks
spot.
So much.
Thank you, Beth. We have a tweet. Loved the suggestion to find stuff on MaineTrailFinder.com. Excellent resource of hundreds of free trails all around Maine. Their map view for finding trails is a great tool to find trails wherever you are or wherever you're going. Some have pictures, too. So that's MaineTrailFinder.com. Wondering, Steve, what's on your bucket list for this winter and beyond?
Well, let's see. I think one of the places that we mentioned earlier, I really would like to get up and do some cross-country skiing at the Millinocket Municipal Trails up there. I think that's been on my list for quite some time. And I do want to mention that there's a big event coming up in March, too. The World Pro Ski Tour will be coming up in March.
Oh, that's right.
And that's at Sunday River this year. We've held it there for the last couple of years, and that runs on March 29th and 30th. It's an opportunity to watch Olympic, World Cup, and NCAA competitors in ski racing. So it's a great event.
All right. We'll go to Chris, who's calling from Temple. Squeeze in one more call. Hi, Chris. Go ahead.
Hi, yes. A couple neat things. In Mount Blue State Park, there's a specific day. I know you've mentioned the park already and Bruce, but on February 2nd, there's a day called Take It Outside Day, I believe, and there's a lot of nice opportunities there with some free rentals and the ice skating, the skiing, there's food. So it's a nice day, and my organization, Kovyashevik Local Living School, will be there teaching a class on how to make a fire on top of the snow as a family and then cook some bread on a stick, which is kind of a fun winter activity to make a fire and cook something.
That's great, Chris. Jen, that sounds perfect for
yes,
your family.
Yeah, that does sound perfect for us. And Chris just reminded me of something, too, that I had forgotten to mention, which is the Great Maine Outdoor Weekend that's coming up in February. Actually, I think in the past year, they've kind of spread it out over the week. But that's a great way to get to know parks, preserves, land trust, because they all come together through the Maine Outdoor Coalition to sponsor these free events all over the state. So you can kind of search on their website exactly what you're looking for, where you are, and find something close by.
Chris, I hear you have another idea for us.
Another idea is we offer the Family Sustainability Stay, which is a three-day, we call it an educational vacation for families. And so families come and learn. It's an immersion into homesteading lifestyle and simple living skills. Like in the winter, there would be carving and snowshoeing and eating food from the root cellar and seeing how all those systems of sustainable living play out in a wintertime scenario. And so that's a neat opportunity as well.
All right, Chris, tell me again what the name of your school is.
All right, it's called Kovyashuvik, which is a hard word.
Gonna have to spell it.
You can also Google Maine Local Living, which is easier.
Okay.
But it's Kovyashuvik.
Well, Chris, thanks so much for calling in. And we have an email from another Chris with Maine Hudson Trails, and he also wants to mention the Great Maine Outdoor Weekend. So he says that on their website you can find what's going on with Maine Hudson Trails on that weekend. So anyway, just a few seconds. Brian, what's on your bucket list for this winter?
I have not been on a fat bike but for a really brief and kind of disastrous attempt about 10 or 12 years ago before they were kind of a thing. I feel like that is an activity that's really kind of come into its own in the last year or so. I live on like immediately adjacent to the snowmobile trail system in Hope in Knox County, and I see as many, maybe not as many, but I see quite a few fat bikes tooling around back there. I would like to rent that and give it to try.
All right. And Jen, I asked you at the beginning, anything else?
Yes. No, I agree with Brian with the fat tire biking. My husband and I tried it last year at a farm where they were giving a free demo. And I think that was the way to do it. But it could have been harder packed. So we definitely want to give that a try again and let the kids give it a try too.
Okay. Well, thank you all so much for being here and giving us all such great ideas, making us excited to go outside in the cold. Jennifer Hazard, the author of the Maine Playbook. She also writes the blog cutepotato.com. Brian Kevin is editor-in-chief of Down East Magazine, and Steve Lyons, director of the Maine Office of Tourism. Lucy Suchek ran the board today. This broadcast will repeat tonight at 8. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.